This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If it was any other team, we'd be looking at this saying, the thing I tweeted out earlier today, the Chiefs are ninth in point differential in the league,
right.
And they're 9-0. And the chart that I put out there from True Media, point differential correlated to win percentage. And it's almost a perfect line. Like the teams, like the Lions are perfectly on the line. They've got the number one point differential and they're 8-1. Like it's the right breakdown. But the Chiefs are the one biggest outlier there. And if they weren't the two-time defending champs and they didn't have Mahomes and Reed in this established baseline, we'd be saying, oh, they're lucky. We'd be talking about them like the Vikings of 22.
That is Steve Palazzolo. He and Sam Monson ahead of this game between the Bills and the Chiefs. They have the Check the Mic podcast on 33rd Team. A lot of ifs in there. We're familiar with those ifs. Lots of ifs. Joining us on the Wester Hotline, we meet again. Carrington Harrison, we talk every time, Carrington. These two teams meet, and we're primed for another one. A Week 11 clash of two of the best teams in the AFC. Good morning. Thanks for coming on. It's Jeremy and Joe, and always good to chat with you.
I'm happy to be on today. Let me say this. Let's kick off this conversation this way. I actually don't disagree with what I just heard in the open, but what I think is very important to note is they are the Chiefs. The analogy that I would make is we've all seen like Sean Marion shoot a basketball, right? It's incorrect. No one would teach you to shoot a basketball that way. And I'm imagining that people tried to change the way that Sean Marion shot, but eventually they just realized, man, it kind of works for him. And he eventually made it to the NBA. All the things that you think about the Chiefs are true. You're not supposed to win the way that they do. They have a negative turnover differential. They had a negative turnover differential last year. Yes, the Ravens game did happen. The penalty against the Bengals did happen. Last week in overtime against Tampa Bay did happen. Like, yes, all of those things are true. I cannot explain it, but the Chiefs just figure out a way every single week to have more points than their opposition, and it just works for them.
So, why? Magic, Mahomes magic, that they buckle down at the right time. Like the third down numbers are really stark. I think I saw at one point this year, Mahomes and the Chiefs' conversion rate on third down was the best of any team in the NFL since 2009. So is it about knowing the right plays in the right moments? Is it just, you know, people don't like to chalk up just the clutch factor about it. What is it about this formula that continues to work?
That's a great question. I would say number one is just culture. Like, I think there's a value in knowing how to win. I think most teams in the NFL think they are going to win. Buffalo's a really good team. Buffalo thinks they are going to win. I think the Chiefs now have seen in so many different instances that they are going to win. There was a story that was told that you guys just probably haven't seen and maybe didn't come on your cross your timeline. So Mecole Hardman is talking to the media after the game, and he says that D-Hop came up to him and said, oh, man, we're going to lose this one. And Mecole Hardman says to him, I've seen way crazier things than this. We're going to win. And the Chiefs obviously blocked the field goal, and they're going to win. So I think number one is just a culture that has been established over the course of the last 4 or 5 years. Number two is the Chiefs might have the best defense in the league. Like, we can talk about the officiating. We talk about all these things. Denver didn't score in the second half of the game and had 50 total yards. you're not beating the Chiefs scoring 14 points. That's just not the game script that you need. So I think it's a combination of their quarterback always makes plays when they need to. They have the best head coach in the National Football League, the culture that has been established, and they might have the best defense in the entire National Football League and have for the last 18 months or so.
When it comes to Mahomes, his numbers first and second down versus third and fourth is kind of in line with the rest of the offense. Are they winning despite him not playing his best? Is he playing better in the last couple of weeks? I guess, where do you see Mahomes' game at this point?
I would say they were probably winning in spite of Mahomes maybe in the first part of the season. They haven't of late. Mahomes has really started to play better, and I think realistically put himself back in the MVP conversation. It's funny enough, I actually would vote for Josh Allen right now if I had to vote for somebody to win MVP. But obviously the results of Sunday are going to go a long way in determining who's going to end up winning that award. I think Mahomes is kind of a victim of their skill level and skill talent around him has just diminished over the last couple of years. I mean, this team has one good wide receiver in DeAndre Hopkins. That's not where Xavier Worthy is right now. That's not where Mecole Hardman is. Juju is banged up. You obviously know about the injuries that they've had. So I think some of it is a product of that. He's not as accurate down the field as he used to be. He missed the throw to Xavier Worthy on Sunday where Worthy is wide open. That happened in the Tampa Bay game as well. And, I mean, he had a touchdown that really would have put the game on ice where they didn't even need the block field goal. And he missed Travis Kelce wide open in the end zone. And the Chiefs had to take a field goal. And that's why they were up 16-14 as opposed to scoring a touchdown there. So it's definitely been some accuracy issues. But I think all in all, it's kind of the talent around Mahomes that has kind of brought his numbers down.
Carrington Harrison talks Chiefs in Kansas City. He's joining us on the Western Hotline. How about the perfect season stuff? Has that started to hit yet? Because, you know, we kind of talked about it in here for 5 minutes, and for me it was, you're going for a third straight Super Bowl. I almost feel like a perfect season is a distraction. Not that you don't want one, but I wouldn't be thinking about it or worrying about it at all. Is it a focus in Kansas City for Chiefs fans to not only want the third Super Bowl, but want one that would stand above the rest?
I mean, it's definitely picked up, I would say, in the last 3 weeks. We have a rule on our show that I won't talk about it until after the Black Friday game. So if they beat Buffalo, they have Carolina and the Raiders after that, and they'll be sitting at 11-0. I think then you can start to have that realistic conversation about them. It's funny because I always kind of say about NFL fans that, you know, every team, when you first see your schedule, you look through and you're like, oh, we're going to go 12-5 or 13-4, yet no one wants to pick against their team over the course of the season. So coming into the year, I said that I thought they would lose one of the Broncos games, the Bills game, and then they have a stretch around Christmas where they play 3 games in 10 days, where they play on the road against Cleveland, they play Houston at home on the 21st, and then they play the Steelers on Christmas Day. That's just a really difficult stretch to win. I do agree with the thought process and why I would vote against them being undefeated is, you guys remember that Patriots team in 07. They just ran through the league. That's not really what the Chiefs are doing, and you would just have to guess one or two Sundays this season. They just end up losing a game. The team goes 15-2. They're the one seed. They were looked at as a great team, but this isn't an undefeated 17-0. They're winning 20 consecutive games this season. If you dated back to last year, you think the Chiefs are then going to win 29 games in a row. That is something that seems possible in the NFL.
Yeah. How about your pick for this week? Do you still think they will lose this game?
Yeah, I think so for this reason. If you look at, like, the standings and how it kind of matches up, this game is way more important for Buffalo than it is for Kansas City. And Buffalo is just matched up really well against the Chiefs in the regular season. I don't got to tell you guys have been unable to win in the postseason, but you guys dominate November games against Kansas City. If the Chiefs win this game, they'll essentially be 4 games up with 7 weeks to go. Buffalo has no chance at the one seed if they lose this week. If they win, they're 1 game back of Kansas City with 7 weeks to go, and you guys know anything can happen with only a 1-game deficit with that much time to go. I just think this game means so much more to Buffalo than it does for Kansas City. They're at home. That gives them the edge, in my opinion.
Well, really, if the result, like we've talked about this, that if the result goes the way of Kansas City, I feel like it might be similar of both teams that neither team might have a lot to play for. Like, the Bills already kind of have the division wrapped up. So it would be really, how hard do you want to go for the 2 versus the 3 or the 4? So home games in the second round and matchups. Because I think, Carrington, that, like, if the Chiefs win this game, the odds would say this too. I think they pretty much have the one seed wrapped up, so there'd be a question for them too of how meaningful their games down the stretch would be outside of the perfect season stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think, they've already beat Baltimore, so they're already four games up on Baltimore. In this scenario, they will have beaten Buffalo, so they're four games up on them. The only team realistically you think could catch them would be Pittsburgh, and they play Pittsburgh on Christmas Day on Netflix. But, I mean, I just don't see a scenario, and I've actually been wrong on Pittsburgh this year, and I'm finally coming around. I just don't see a scenario in which Pittsburgh goes 14-3 this season. I think that's the floor for the Chiefs now at this point. When you look at the games that they have remaining on their schedule, I just don't find four or five losses in the final 2 months of the season. So I think they're going to go 14-3. But, obviously it's just, what three do you get? If you don't get this one and Buffalo continues to stay hot down the second half of the season, is this going to be a legitimate race or not?
Carrington Harrison on the Western Hotline ahead of Chiefs Bills. Carrington, always a pleasure. I'll talk to you in a couple days.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks a lot for having me.
All right, Carrington Harrison. I'll be going on down there. He always makes me pick, too. Who's going to win?
Who are you picking?
I don't know.
The line's moving towards the Bills more and more.
He's picking the Bills.
He might get up to three by the time the game
He's got the Bills to win it.
By the way, the Bills have been favored. They've been made fun of for being favored against the Bills. I think they were in favorite in Arrowhead the 1 year, and they've covered every time.
They always cover.
They cover. They covered last year when they were favored. They don't cover in the playoff games, but they've covered in these regular season games where everyone's like, "How could you give Mahomes points?" And then the Bills cover.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, there's a version of this show that's on the radio that everyone out there is listening to and on the app. Then there's the one that's in this studio where the last 4 days, Joe has just put Bills Chiefs games on loop on the television.
Well, there's a lot of them.
There are a lot of them. So we're just talking, making a point. Like, oh, there's Josh Allen scrambling for 15 yards, jumping over L'Jarius Sneed.
Here's a
deep shot down the sideline, a wide open Diggs.
Yeah.
That one counted, huh? They forced the ball in that play. threw the ball to Emmanuel Sanders for a touchdown.
Brushing up on, there's hours and hours of football between these two teams in the last 5 years.
There is. And, there's a point you made about last year's playoff game and how different it was than all these games you've got me watching here. All these other games, what do I have? Josh running and winging that ball down the field. I mean, there are throws.
I mean,
big boy, big time throws, dropping dots into that Sanders throw where he cooks the corner. And it's just, it is the vertical passing game. Like, these are Bills teams here that we're not built on yak yards. And I was fine with that. It is a different Bills team this time around. In one of the games we just watched, Khalil Shakir's returning kicks. That is not his job anymore.
He's not even on offense.
Yeah.
That was rookie Shakir, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got Deontay Hardy doing some orbit motion, and, Allen's going to find Dawson Knox for a game-winning touchdown on one of these.
Yeah. They look very different. The playoff game last year looked different, and I guarantee you Sunday's going to look different. Both of these teams have leaned into, I think, what the league has presented to them, which is... The Chiefs got to it earlier, right? The Chiefs maybe got to it a full year before the Bills did, maybe 2 years before they did.
Yeah.
Which is, you're going to take stuff over the top, but we're just going to dump it off short. We're going to get yak yardage. We're going to run the ball more. I bet they're still high among the league, but guarantee you, if I were to look up how often these teams were passing the ball, this game we have on is the 2021 game, I guarantee you they're throwing the ball 10% less than they were in these two football games.
And how about, Carrington talking about Mahomes' accuracy? I don't know that I would say Allen's accuracy is a problem, but it might be on deep balls.
The Knox one that he hit against the Colts was the first...
in a while. And he missed Kincaid in the same game. He missed MVS early in the season when he was on the team. He missed Diggs a bunch of times last year.
Yep.
The deep downfield ball for Allen has not hit in a while. And that's another thing I think that maybe Mahomes and Allen have mirrored each other. It used to be vertical passing, holy cow, these offenses are on fire. And then defenses kind of clamped down and made them become game-managing, yak-yard pocket passers. And they've both been able to do that. It's why they're two of the best. So it's almost like we're going to see, the two most talented guys at the position have to play the smarter game. It's where... strategy, coaching, supporting cast becomes a bigger thing than maybe it used to for these two.
Yeah, which is where these games are just completely they're almost irrelevant to that right now, right? I guess when you have those shots, you really need them to hit it because how many deep shots are these two quarterbacks going to combine for in this game? Attempts, three?
I bet the Chiefs take at least one.
At least take one.
And will the Bills take one?
Does it matter if Worthy plays? Who are they taking a deep shot to? Hardman?
I mean,
like one of their bench guys?
I think it has to be Worthy if he plays.
Yeah.
Who are the Bills throwing deep to? Not making a joke here. Ty Johnson? Ray Davis?
It's been their running backs.
Who are the deep shots to? I mean, if Cooper is... I don't know if Cooper's going to be available.
Mac Hollins
getting a deep shot? Curtis Samuel?
Would you want to bet it? A deep shot to Mac Hollins in this game?
They've thrown here's one to Dawson Knox.
Maybe Dawson Knox is the answer again. Maybe, you know...
The Bills are up 24-10 in this game.
One thing about Knox...
That you're making me watch.
Yeah. One thing about Knox is this: the Colt play, too. I've been waiting for these up-the-seam deep shots to Kincaid his whole 2 years with the Bills. Knox has always kind of given you one of those once in a while, hasn't he?
Listen.
Isn't that maybe... Of the things Dawson Knox is good at, of the things that got him paid like he did, isn't that one of those elements? Isn't he a tight end that, in his best, you think, oh, yeah, he can beat a linebacker up the seam?
Yeah.
And if he starts in this game...
If I'm choosing between Cooper and Kincaid, who can play, I think I choose Cooper. I don't know how much they would... I don't know how much they would miss
Kincaid. Definitely.
I don't know how much they would miss Kincaid. The thing about when they drafted Kincaid, one of the first things I remember watching was Matt Harmon of Yahoo Sports saying, I feel like this is redundant. Dawson Knox can play. And they draft Kincaid, and Knox doesn't get the ball anymore. In these games against the Chiefs, we've got one we just saw, like a 60-yard touchdown to Knox on a scramble play for Allen. He has a game-winning touchdown in Arrowhead on the final drive where he catches it. I mean, Knox has two touchdowns in the Patriots' perfect game. Also, Knox was a feature of this offense. They drafted Kincaid,
yeah,
and he became an afterthought.
Right.
So,
yeah, he was hardly involved at all.
Mario in Jacksonville. Hey, Mario.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, guys. As soon as we're talking about the game coming up this Sunday, the national media has been, like, telling the story that it's a must-win for the Bills. It's a statement game for the Bills. I kind of want to talk to you guys about that. I think this is the first time in my fandom for the Bills. I'm almost 33 in week 11 where the game really, I mean, I don't think it really matters at all. I don't think at this point the Bills can catch the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs would have to go, what, 4-2 for the rest of the season, and we'd have to essentially lose one game to have the one seed, even if we win this game. I think it's a statement game, if anything, but I would not want to see the Bills go all out and put guys in positions that maybe aren't healthy, potentially get injured, just to win this game. When in reality, yeah, you go in there, you give it your all, and then you focus on winning the division. But, I mean, this game is, it's not that huge of a deal, and I don't want, even if we lose, I don't want the narrative to change and say, oh, we can't beat the Chiefs. There it is again. The Chiefs foiled us. I think the Bills just need to focus on getting past this week. I do think they're going to win because we tend to play to our competition, and I think they're going to kick them in the teeth at home. But I don't know. It just doesn't seem to have that much weight on the season that the national media seems to think. I want to get your guys' take on that.
Well, I think sometimes, Mario, I think if you're living in a existence where you are guessing what the narrative will be before it exists, like no matter the outcome of the game, the narrative will be that Bills have to beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. That's
no matter what.
No matter what. I don't think anyone would dispute that. If the Chiefs win, it'll be, oh, geez, Buffalo didn't beat Kansas City. How are they going to beat them in the playoffs? If the Bills do win, it'll be whatever. They've got to beat them in the playoffs. But I don't know. Like, that's true of everybody. The Lions have to win the Super Bowl, or else it's, oh, can they win the Super Bowl? Like, you live there now. That doesn't mean these games are not important or these games don't matter.
But what you have built up over the years, because these two teams have met so often, it's basically a division game at this point because you just play them more than any other non-division team. The Field Yates had the stat, right? It's 8 times in 5 years, whatever it is. The Bills have played them so often that there's no more measuring stick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, they're equals.
The Lions,
for the most part.
The Lions are still kind of fresh to this. They're still kind of new to these expectations. Like, it's been a year.
Who on earth could be a measuring stick for the Lions? They did beat the Chiefs last year.
But they might, like, if they play the Niners, you know, it might still be for Detroit. We got to prove we could beat the Niners. Like, we got to know that we could beat the Niners. And for the Bills, you just don't have that. The measuring stick, even if there is only, right, one for a Detroit or one for a team like that, the Bills have played this team so often that there's no measuring stick.
The Lions still play the Packers, Bills, and Niners this year.
Okay. So, like, if I'm a Lions fan, I've got that Niner game. Well, when's the Niner game? Is it, like, week 18?
It is week 17.
Okay, so maybe that's a little different. But, like, in general, I would circle that game as I want to be able to prove I could beat that team. Because I probably am thinking if I'm there, that's the team standing in my way more than anybody. And for the Bills, it's the Chiefs, but you've played them 8 times.
You just kind of can't have it both ways where you're going to say all that stuff, which is not wrong, but also say, boy, I'd be really afraid to play Baltimore because, I mean, clearly the Bills have a real tough time with them. Do they? They beat him in the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
They've beaten Lamar most times. But now they had one game where they look bad and like, well, that's that. I guess that's what that matchup looks like.
Yeah.
Then again, they don't play Baltimore as often as they play the Chiefs.
I mean, I'd rather play Kansas City in a playoff game twofold. Like, one, I think it is a better matchup for the Bills. And two, I would prefer a path that this is definitely secondary, but I would prefer a path where they beat the Chiefs. I would like to see them beat the Chiefs in a playoff game. Once, ever. Maybe in this stadium, too. That'd be fun.
So, they beat the Chiefs in the playoffs and lose the next game. What's the narrative? If we're just going to spend our lives anticipating narratives, what is it then?
If they beat the Chiefs and then lose the next week after, in like the AFC Championship
game? Sure, or they lose the Super Bowl.
I think...
The Super Bowl would be different?
The Super Bowl would be different.
They beat the Chiefs in the division round, they lose in the AFC Championship to whoever you want. You can have it be Baltimore, you can have it be a wild card team, you can be Cincinnati, whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
What's the narrative? If we're just anticipating narratives, let's just go ahead and anticipate another one.
I guess I don't know what the narrative would be at that point. The narrative would be a lot about the coach. Of course. Right?
Yeah, sure.
That would be it. It would be McDermott can't win the big one. That's it. You will go full... It'll be all in on that. Because the boogeyman's dead. If Kansas City is out of that equation, then all eyes are turning to just McDermott in general. Not even about one opponent. Not one matchup, not one quarterback. Well, I've got to throw my hands up. It's one of the best teams ever. It's, nope, your coach can't win the big one.
There's another big catch from Dawson Knox. The catches in this game, this one game. Dawson Knox has more impressive catches in this one game than, like, well, whatever.
Maybe this
week? He's got 3 for 117 and a touchdown in the game we're watching right now.
I think that's more than he has this year.
There's 10 minutes left in the third quarter.
Maybe before that Colt play, it was more than he had this year.
All right.
Hey, let TRS Heating and Air Conditioning intercept your heating bills. You can enter now, WGR550.com, for a chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. Contest ends January 5th. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence. Powering tomorrow, comforting today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So I think number one is just a culture that has been established over the course of the last 4 or 5 years. Number two is the Chiefs might have the best defense in the league. We can talk about the officiating. We talk about all these things. Denver didn't score in the second half of the game and had 50 total yards. You're not beating the Chiefs scoring 14 points. That's just not the game script that you need. So I think it's a combination of their quarterback always makes plays when they need to. They have the best head coach in the National Football League. They might have the best defense in the entire National Football League and have for the last 18 months or so.
Carrington Harrison joining us a little bit ago. He talks Chiefs, says it has a rule on his show there in Kansas City, not talking perfect season until the Black Friday game. They play Christmas Day until Black Friday. So they beat the Bills, the Panthers, and the Raiders. Then they're allowed to talk about it. He also has the Bills winning this game.
On that point about defense, I'm still trying to figure out. Like, I've heard their defense isn't as good. Carrington there saying they might be the best defense in the league.
I think they're like
Aaron Schatz,
11th in EPA per play defensively.
Okay. They're 11th in EPA per play. They're 4th in DVOA at Aaron Schatz's site.
Well, they played Cincinnati and Baltimore. DVOA takes into account, you know, your opponent.
Okay, so maybe that's really what it comes down to, is if you're factoring in who they play against, then maybe they're better looking than they are. I mean, I think their defense is great, no doubt. But I'm not sure if it's the best in the league.
Give us a call. We've kind of cranked it up to 11 on Bills Chiefs coverage. Other NFL news, the city of Berlin has launched an official bid, a campaign to host NFL games and NFL game the next 5 seasons. You know, we've seen Munich. Berlin wants to host games over a 5-year period.
Okay. So we're going to I'm actually not opposed to adding international games, and they're going to do it anyway, right?
Yeah.
They're going to get to a point where there's one per week.
Yeah, and I'm not mad about a 9:30 game every week. It's fine.
Isn't that the formula eventually for adding another game?
It's another television window.
Yeah, and everybody would have one per year. Isn't that been floated as an idea out there, maybe instead of having like European teams,
yeah,
which seems really hard to execute?
803-0550. Let's get some calls in on this as we connect with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Mike in East Aurora. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
You guys probably have numbers on this, but it seems to me that Josh's completion percentage when he has a clean pocket this year is low. And I think that's a function of our wide receivers aren't very fast and can't separate. But I think Joe Brady needs to realize that our quick passing game, I mean, our receivers are shifty. You know, they can make quick moves, and we haven't really thrown a lot of, like, quick passes, you know, as in, you know, the old Tom Brady-style offense. And what I was hoping last week we would do with all our injured receivers is that throw to the running backs more. I mean, all three of our running backs have proven that they can catch and get yak yards. So I think we really need to go with a quicker passing offense, because I don't think Josh is comfortable. Josh is the best passer in the league when he's under pressure, you know, when he's running out to the right, not to the left, obviously. But the other thing I noticed, you know, they talked about Josh running the ball more or whatever, but running Josh Allen up the center of the defense behind his tackle is crazy to me, and you don't see other NFL teams doing that. If you're going to run your quarterback, he's got to run around the outside with some blockers. So, I don't know. I think we just need to change our offensive philosophy a little bit and stop trying to get longer throws, because we don't have the horses that can do it.
Thanks, Mike. Well, some of the numbers would indicate this is the shortest passing offense they've ever had. They do not throw down the field. In fact,
right,
there's a case to be made for, if you only have the quick-hitting passing game, that is eliminating Allen's potential to go off script. So some of the numbers on that. Intended air yards per pass attempt. Allen, this year, 7.7, the lowest of his career. He started his career 11, 9, 8.5, 8.2, 9.2, 8.7 last year, 7.7 intended air yards per attempt. You want to go completed air yards per attempt? 3.3, lowest of his career. Yak is up because passes are short.
Right.
So there's also, like, in terms of, you know, clean pocket versus pressured.
I have that.
I do too. Okay. I have that on, is it yards per attempt?
I have that in EPA per dropback.
Okay.
He's number 5 under pressure. He's number 7 from a clean pocket.
Okay.
6 touchdowns, 1 pick under pressure. 11 touchdowns, 3 picks when he's not under pressure. He's great at both.
It's one of the things that I'm actually looking forward to in this game is I don't really think that we see too much of Josh Allen Superman anymore. I really don't.
When's the last time we saw it? Arizona?
Arizona we saw it. When did he play perfect? Against Jacksonville, he was perfect. Didn't really need to be, but a game where you need him to go, you know, hog wild.
What do we consider Superman also?
We consider Superman, he runs. He runs and jumps over dudes. This, you know, you've got nonstop Chiefs highlights up here. There's a play where he's on the sideline and he spins into contact to try to gain a first down.
Right.
Superman Josh is dropping Kyle Van Noy on the ground with a choke slam, which happened in a Miami game. You know, his yards per attempt when pressured and yards per attempt when kept clean are not that different. And like, if you look at some of the deeper numbers, it's almost hard to make a case for Josh to be MVP. I know that sounds crazy, but if, let's say the voting ended now and he won it, you could do the same thing to him that everyone did to Lamar last year, which was like, well, come on. I mean, his yards per attempt were not that good compared to other guys. I've got Brock Purdy with more yards per attempt when not pressured. Lamar, Purdy, Hurts, Darnold, Herbert, Geno Smith, Trevor Lawrence, Derek Carr, Jaden Daniels, Jared Goff, all more yards per attempt in clean pockets. But again, the Bills have a shorter passing game. They don't have these over-the-top shots. Who does? Lamar. They have an explosive play offense. So does San Francisco. So does Jared Goff. I mean, I'm not trying to take anything away from Josh, but to your call about wanting to get rid of the deeper passing game, that's almost gone.
Right.
Their deep passing game is 50-50 sideline catches to Keon Coleman.
But that's where the hope would be that Cooper is going to be someone who solves that. Right? He is their best deep threat on the team. And he's played two games for them. And they've only needed him really in one of them. So I wonder how much Cooper will change that. We still really haven't seen it. Because he's the guy for that. He is the guy. If you need someone to beat someone down the field right now on this team, it is Amari Cooper. So is that gone because they don't have the receivers for it? Or is that gone because it's just gone by design?
Well, to that point, there's a million charts and graphs. And there's one out there that will show you that Josh Allen, his receivers get the least separation of any. Why is that? Because the ball's thrown within 1 second. You can't separate if the throw's out right away. How can you separate? When do you have time?
It's beyond that, though. These receivers are not good at getting open down the field.
I don't disagree with that as a general idea, but Keon Coleman is not going to be open in 1.4 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And if the ball is out, and if they're measuring it by when the ball is thrown, how much separation do all the receivers have? This ball is out. The average depth of target is short. You can only have so much separation when the depth of target is 3.7 yards.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like I'm like mad about it. It's how they've built their offense, is to be precision. Who do they look like? They look like the Chiefs look like for the last 5 years.
Yeah. But that too, though, could be somewhat a reaction to when you know you don't have anybody that gets open down the field.
But they
this is then what you have to do.
But they drafted guys with these skill sets and signed guys with outside of Cooper.
They did trade for Cooper.
That's Cooper.
They
right.
thought middle of the year they needed somebody that would present that skill set, and we haven't really seen him yet.
Yeah. Johnny in Buffalo. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I'm excited about this game this weekend. Obviously, as most Bills fans are, but you know, to me, this game has really replaced the Brady-Manning rivalry, and I personally think it's even better. I mean, you've got two quarterbacks who do some things that the other two couldn't do. They can move and, extend plays and really make magic happen. You got Mahomes doing Mahomes things, and you got Josh doing Josh things, jumping over people, extending plays, throwing on the sideline. And, I think overall, the rivalry, Manning versus Brady, Brady won the majority of the games in the regular season. Peyton was 3-2 in the playoffs against them. But, Peyton started off 0-6 against Tom Brady and the Patriots, not just Tom Brady. But he started off 0-2 in the playoffs, too. And obviously Allen and McDermott and the Bills are 0-3 against Mahomes and the Chiefs. And, it gets me to thinking, like, yes, I'm with you guys. This game is extremely important. But just like the Charleston at the beginning of the hour said, this game is way more important to Buffalo than it is Kansas City, and not just because of the one seed, the rest of the schedule. It is. We feel this need to, we obviously need to. We feel the need to beat Kansas City every year, and it becomes our Super Bowl in a way. And I understand, we know we need to get the job done against Kansas City, but we've proven that in the playoffs. We can't, and I know we're going against one of the best quarterback coordinator combos, if not the best of all time. But last year, for example, we had a chance to go down and win the game. You put the ball in Josh Allen's hands with 2 minutes left, and he decides, and the team he takes a deep shot to the end zone when he might have a check down across the field and for a first down. And we don't make the play. We end up missing the field goal. Game over. But if that's Mahomes in that situation, what do we think is happening at the end of that game? We think that if we're up three and Mahomes has the ball, we're screwed. Yep. You know, and it's one of those things where I am extremely excited. I think we do win this game this weekend and keep that one seed race as a hope. But, you know, what do you guys think happens? And I'm just throwing a hypothetical here. We make it to the playoffs. We play the Chiefs again and lose again. You know, what changes? And I know it's too hard to forecast, but I'm thinking dark days here. Like, this is – it's a big rivalry. And if we go 0-4 against Mahomes and Reed, and it's McDermott and Allen go 0-4 against Mahomes and Reed in the playoffs, where do we go from there? You know, is it just, let's try again next year?
Yeah. We go crazy. That's what we do. Yeah. Well, that's where – comes down to what your owner thinks about that situation. Saying it like that, 0-4, is to kind of drives it home.
Everyone has a line of demarcation on that, I think. How many? Right? Like, 7 losses to the Chiefs in the playoffs?
Well, it's worth 6? Pointing out, how many teams would have lost to the Chiefs 4 times in the playoffs if they'd met them 4 times in the playoffs? I mean, I know Cincinnati has a win.
Right.
If the Steelers had played them 4 times, what would their record be?
Well, maybe
0-4.
Right.
And I know, like, this is lowering the bar a little bit, which I sometimes don't like to do, but I just want to make the point of you can't lose to them without being there. And the Niners have lost to them twice. If the Niners lose to them a third time in the Super Bowl, does that mean that Kyle Shanahan's a bum? I mean, he might have blown another 10-point lead in the Super Bowl, which he tends to do. You finish second in a golf tournament. Bum. Like, sorry. Like, I made the playoff, and then I lost to Tiger again.
Mm-hmm.
What am I supposed to feel bad about myself? Am I supposed to feel like I should change things? All the other guys behind me would rather be where I am. It's tough.
Did Phil ever fire a swing coach?
I don't know. Did he ever have a swing coach? He probably did.
It's hard when you've never won one before, and you have this quarterback, I think, though, to just... I'm not even saying that you're doing this or the team is doing this, but I think what enters a fan's mind is I've got Josh Allen for a finite amount of time, and I don't want to just have the bar be get to play the Chiefs and lose to them and let them be the best team.
We got to go to a break. I'll say one thing. There's one scenario people do not consider. What if they lose to the Chiefs in the playoffs and they don't think it's McDermott's fault? People don't even consider.
Josh has a horrible game or something?
I mean, the last time
it hasn't happened yet.
He had a bad playoff game against Cincinnati, and no one even talks about it.
Not against Kansas City.
Nobody cares about it. He had a bad game against Cincinnati. It never gets mentioned. They lose a playoff game because he plays bad. And it's the Chiefs. Then what? You know, you're talking about what are you going to change? You're going to fire McDermott off the quarterback having a bad day?
Yeah. I think what saved him there is that everybody had a bad day.
803-0550. And some people were mad about that bad day. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Time now for Worst Call Wednesday, brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center.
All right, time for Worst Call Wednesday. One of the worst calls you can make is to skip your recommended cancer screenings. Learn more about potential life-saving screening recommendations and guidelines. Visit roswellpark.org/screening. So the worst call of the week. Sometimes it's a call to a station. Sometimes it's a call from a coach. This time it was a call from someone on an airplane to make an in-flight announcement on a flight to Detroit as the Lions were lining up for the game-winning kick on Sunday Night Football.
It's been our absolute pleasure to have you on board tonight. So congratulations to the Lions. My apologies.
So what's happening is, it says announcement in progress, and the kick goes through.
I love the reaction from the fan also on the kick, like yes, no, no, yes, because it was so
very close. Listen, most of the time when you make an announcement, doesn't the screen freeze?
Yeah, that was surprised on the video. It doesn't. Right?
It doesn't freeze, which thank goodness, because you imagine you're waiting for the game-winning kick lineup, and then
I would lose my mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, freeze.
We are approaching our final destination for today. The ball's in midair.
Right. There you go. There's the worst call of the week. Wait till the kick.
Yeah.
Take a look at the TV. Then again, I guess there's a lot of TVs. Probably tough to know everybody's watching the same thing.
803-0550. We have an open hour when we return. That's Worst Call Wednesday. Jeremy and Joe, and your phone calls, 803-0550. How how's everybody feeling? Freaking out?
Oh, it doesn't matter to me. No, it doesn't matter. This game means nothing.
A lot of that. Too much of that. All right. Let's have a good time. 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.